morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lighthouse. We are so glad you are here this morning. And enjoy seeing all of your smiling faces. God bless you. We do have a few things we want to make you aware of. First of all, for all of our young people, kids and teenagers, you know that typically last year we were doing Youth Converge Sunday on the last Sunday of the month. Well, this year we will not be doing Youth Converge, so you'll be out here for worship. So young people, I want to see you worshiping today. Hey girls, eyes on me. I want to see you all worshiping today, right? Yes. You can worship out here just as easily as you can worship back there, right? Yes. So let's worship. Adults, I want to see you worshiping today, right? Yes. Amen. God is worthy of every bit of worship that we can give him. Also wanted to let you know today is our nursing home ministry at 2 p.m. That is open to everyone. So if you would like to go, it's the nursing home on 199 headed towards Upper Sandusky, skilled nursing and rehab, 2 p.m. Also, every Wednesday, we have family night right here at the church. So we have something for the kids, something for the teenagers, and something for us old people too. So this Wednesday, we're starting a new series. It is called Second Mile Leader. It will go on for probably 12 weeks or so. It is a great, great lesson. So I encourage you, if you have not checked out a Wednesday night, start this Wednesday. It will be very good. There are some handouts already at the Welcome Center. So if you want to grab one of those and look it over for the first lesson, those are ready. We also have information at the door posted. And there is a book that goes along with the series. You do not have to have the book, but if you like to read and want to get it, there is a QR code. You can scan it and go ahead and purchase that book. There's a QR code here if your phone works that well. If your phone is like my eyes, that would not work for me. But you can try it if you want. But again, we're very excited about that Second Mile Leader lesson that we're doing for the adults. And there's stuff for the teens, stuff for the kids, so bring the whole family on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Also, keep that date of February 16th in your phone. At 6 p.m. is our first family movie night. We are watching I Can Only Imagine. It is not just for the Lighthouse. It is for anyone and everyone. So invite your friends, neighbors, family. Bring them with you, and we'll have some snacks and fellowship and a good, wholesome movie to watch. All right, and then our last announcement is that marriage conference coming up February 23rd and 24th. The deadline to get the cheaper room rate is January 31st, which is this Wednesday. So if you want to go to the marriage conference, again, information is at the door. There's a QR code there as well to register. And every once in a while, people are like, I'm not married and I'd love to go to stuff like this. Well, just to give you a little tidbit, Bethel Family Worship Center, it's a little bit of a drive in Indianapolis, but it's a great church, is going to have a singles conference on April 12th and 13th. So save that date. We will have more information as it gets closer. I do believe that's going to be a powerful conference, and they're going to be talking about how to honor God in your singleness. So that will be great. My husband's trying to share an announcement. Come on up.
So along with this announcement, marriage conference, Pastor Andrew and Pastor Autumn, who head this up, posted on social media that if there was a couple who has donated, I think at least one, they're going to donate and cover the stay for one couple. I can't remember if it was one or more. But if you've been married for less than 3 years, they said they want young couples to be able to come to this, and a lot of times younger couples maybe can't afford that. So if you're a younger couple and you qualify in that, you can submit, and if you need assistance, they want to make sure that anybody who needs to go can be there. And I want to reiterate, it's not because your marriage is struggling. You get a dividend from what you invest into, right? So when you invest into your marriage will give back to you. So me and Pastor Alicia do these things all the time to invest in our marriage, to keep our marriage healthy. If you are struggling, you can go as well, all right? And we hope that you'll find some help. And when you leave, that marriage conference won't fix your marriage, but it'll give you some tools to go back and work at your marriage, right? So we just really want to highlight this. It's important. Get involved in this if you're married. But also, there is a singles conference coming up for those of you that aren't married.
And so we always have a lot of announcements. I want to remind you there's usually information posted at the door. We have a flyer at the Welcome Center that has all the information, but also our website and our app. So if you want the full details of everyone or everything, check out those locations. And at this time, Brother Ryan is coming with our call to worship scripture.
Good morning. You know, I was thinking a few minutes ago, I remember when I was younger, I had some friends that my parents maybe didn't always agree with that I was running around with. And I'm sure some of my friends' parents probably didn't agree with their sons running around with me. So it's probably a two-way street. But I thought, when you don't approve of somebody, you'll try to kind of secretly go around behind, sneak around, and do stuff that you don't want other people to maybe know about. And I was reading in John 14, and trust me, my dad was the one I had to hide people from. It wasn't my mom so much. She was usually a little bit more understanding, but my dad had some pretty strict opinions on who he approved and who he didn't. So taking somebody home to meet my dad would have been a big deal. I'd had to been sure that my dad was going to approve, because if I took him home and he didn't approve, that would have been the last time I was allowed to be around him, right? And in John 14, I saw where Jesus says, if you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. You're approved by the Father. And Jesus says, I am the way. I'm going to show you the Father by what you see in me. If you see me, you've seen the Father. He says, I don't do anything because I want to. I don't do anything on my own. I do everything because of the Father. I do everything the Father tells me. I speak things that he speaks through me. I do things that he wants me to do in his name to give him all the glory. But he says, if you've seen me, you've seen him. And I wasn't ashamed to take you to him. Amen. Right. This is right after he says, in my Father's house, there's many, many mansions. And he says, if this wasn't true, I would have told you so. Amen. So be thankful today that we have Jesus in our life, who's not ashamed to take you to his Father. He's not ashamed to mediate for you, to be your counselor, to be your guidance. And he's also not afraid to die on a cross for your sake, to give you eternal life in heaven with his Father. He's gave it all. He's done it all in our behalf. Amen. So stand up this morning with us and just worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we get this service started to glorify him. Amen. Amen. So I'd like you to bow your heads with me now, and we'll pray over our tithes and offerings. The screen up there has all the ways you can give. The basket's down front here. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done on our behalf, Lord. Lord, we give you all the glory and the honor today. Our life is not our own, but it is for you, Lord. As you gave your life for us, we should also give our life for you, Lord. We ask you to bless these offerings, bless these people who bring them, bless those that receive them, Lord, as they sow into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Jubilee. If you believe that, let's sing out this morning.
like Jehovah. There's no God 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 like Jehovah.
Thank you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us.
Is this your prayer? Is this your heart's desire? That God would move how He wants to move. Not how you want Him to move. Not how you think He needs to move. How He wants to move. Can we relinquish control and let God be God? We were recently in a service, and the Spirit of the Lord was moving in a very prophetic way, and the gift of prophecy was flowing. Words of knowledge were coming forth. I believe even some words of wisdom were happening. And the word of God came forth that said the next 90 days that God was going to begin to give an outpouring of rain that would be a sacred rain. Sacred. Something that's set apart and holy. Not a rain that people can control, people can manipulate, people can stir up. A sacred thing of God that He gets to do what He wants to do. Here we are within these 90 days singing, "Let It Rain." My question to you, is that your prayer? Are you willing to say, "Okay, God, this is your thing, and I am the follower. I don't lead you, God, you lead me. I submit my will to you, God. I'm not trying to make your will match with mine. I'm not trying to convince you of something, God. I'm not trying to talk you into doing something, God. I am letting go of myself, my pride, my desires, my flesh, and saying, okay, God, whatever you want, let it rain. See, if I see it raining over here, I'm not going to say, God, you need to move here. I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to go over here because that's what you're doing. See, sometimes we don't realize what we're doing in the middle of a church service. You think, oh, we're just singing a song. No. You are singing a prayer. That your heart's desire is for God to move how He wishes to move. Listen, I like being in the manifest presence of God. If you don't know what that means, it just means that God shows up in a tangible way. You see Him moving amongst us, right? But what if that's not how God wants to do it this time? Am I going to pigeonhole God and say, no, this is revival right here. Right here, this is revival. No, this is your move, God. Or am I going to let God be God and every man a liar, like His word says? And I'm just going to say, my heart pants after you. Whatever you want to do, God. I know it will align with your word. That's my safety place. That's my safety net. That's my peace. As long as it aligns with what you've already spoken, then I know that it's you. And it may look different. It may seem different. But I can walk in peace and safety knowing it's you because it aligns with your word. And I'm just going to believe. I'm going to believe right now. Then these next 90 days, you're pouring out of a sacred rain. And if that means that you have to sanctify me, God, maybe I've walked away from you. Maybe I've stepped outside of some things that you want me to do. I'm stepping back into alignment with you. I'm going to match what your word says in my life. Not what I want your word to say, but what your word says. I'm going to do what you say, God, not what I think. That's you. Now, God is your witness, not me. And God will hold you accountable this morning, not me. So when I ask you this, I want you to take it very serious. Don't just follow the crowd, because it seems the right thing to do. But if you're saying, yes, I believe that God's going to pour out a sacred rain in these next 90 days, and I'm going to get in the flow of what He's doing. I want you to come up forward right now as a declaration of your faith that you're declaring, yes, God is going to do this, and I'm going to align myself with God. I don't care what anybody else does. If He tells me to start fasting, I'm going to start fasting. And I'm not going to stop until He tells me to stop. If He tells me, hey, you need to read the Word more, then I'm going to get and read the Word more. If He tells me I need to pray a little bit longer, I'm going to pray a little bit longer. I'm not putting time constraints on God. I'm not putting borders on God. Come on, move up here. Move up here. Come on, move up here. We're releasing everything. We're giving it to God. We're giving it to God. We're giving it to Him. Every need, every relationship, every family member, every situation, we're giving it to Him. He is God. He is an awesome God. He is a mighty God. He is the one moving. He is the one that will meet the need. And He will do it the way He wants to do it. Now let's sing this together as a prayer from our depths of our heart.
Let it rain.
You guys sing it. Let it. Come on, let me hear your voice as a declaration. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a sweet smelling savor offered up to God right now as a prayer. Sing it again.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the flood. Because our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Come on, sing it again. Realize this is why we can trust in the rain to come. This is why we can trust God to move. He's an awesome God. He reigns. He's still in control.
Dumb power and love. Our God is an awesome.
Come on, sing it out. Sing it out.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with dumb power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
One more time.
Our God is an awesome God.
Now lift your hands and with your own words and your own voice, begin to give Him praise. He's heard your prayer. He's heard your prayer this morning. Now we wait on You, Lord. We wait on You, Lord. We wait on You to do Your work, Lord. And as we wait, our strength is refreshed. We will mount up on wings like as eagles. We will run and not weary. We will walk and not faint. Because we wait on You, Lord. We're waiting on You, Lord. It's all Your doing, not ours. We don't have to conjure anything up. You're going to do it, God. We stand in our faith and trust in You. We stand still and we see You move, God. And we do only what You tell us to do. And we say only what You tell us to say. For we are following You, God. And we thank You right now that we can give it over to You. This is not our burden to carry. This is Yours, God. For Your burden is light. Your yoke is easy. And we are connected to You by the Holy Spirit. And we're walking with You, God. We trust You, God. We rely upon You, God. We lean upon You, God. We trust You, God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I thank You that every need that's been submitted to You, every need that's been submitted to You from every heart that's here, whether they're in the building or they're watching online, God, I thank You that You're moving. You've heard that need, and You will supply the need according to Your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. You are the need supplier. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord that provides. Not just monetarily, God. You provide everything we have need of. I thank You for those broken hearts that You're binding together and healing right now. I thank You that You're setting liberty them that have been bruised right now, God. I thank You, Lord, that You're opening up the blinded eyes right now, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that those that have been imprisoned and bound are loosed right now, God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, the Spirit of God is upon us. He has anointed us to do Your work. He has anointed Jesus first and foremost, and He has completed the work. And now we carry the same anointing as Jesus Christ in the earth. We will see these things done, not only for us, but those that we're praying for, those that we're believing for. I thank You that You're comforting hearts this morning that are mourning. Hallelujah. We give You the glory. We give You the glory. We give You the praise. Come on, don't get tired on me, church. Don't get tired of praising Jesus. He deserves our praise. Come on, keep it up. Keep praising Him. Keep giving Him glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. All glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We submit these petitions to you, Lord. But now we move in deeper. It's more than just a submitting of petitions and requests. But we seek your face, God. We're seeking after you and what you want. Not what we have and what we want. We're seeking your will. Now, God, I ask you to help us to lay aside those things that are holding us back, the things that are keeping us from the things that you desire in our life. Whatever they may be, God, we submit them to you right now. We give them to you. And we seek after you, God. Our prayer is more than just a transactional prayer. It's a transformational prayer because we want to be more like you and we're seeking after you, God, right now. Transform us. Let us look more like you this week than we did last week. Move in us, Lord Jesus. And as you move in us, we know you'll move in our nation. We know the world around us will begin to change because you will be glorified and you will be shown through us. We want people just to see you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this moment. We give you all glory. We give you all praise. We give you all honor. Thank you for speaking to hearts and lives. I thank you for ministering to people. I thank you for healing people right now. The sick and afflicted are being healed. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your sacred move. We stand in faith and belief for it right now. We believe for it right now. We thank you for the sacred rain. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you want to or wish to, you can head back to your seats. Thank you for responding to what God's doing in our midst, believing for God to move. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God hears us when we pray. I want you to know that God is in the middle of your situation. He's working on your behalf. I want to give you a testimony. Mi hermano Raybert, my brother Raybert here, had us last week praying for his daughter. He showed me on the phone, she was in a hospital bed with oxygen on, and they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what was taking place. We began to pray, and God healed her. The thing that they thought was wrong, they couldn't find. And now, I think he said this morning, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Darius, but they're at church, and they're worshiping God, and his one daughter's dancing in church this morning. And so, can we give God some praise that God's a healer, that God moves? Amen? And so, they're back in Venezuela, and God is, you know, we can pray here in Cary, Ohio for people in Venezuela, and God hears our prayers and moves. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we wanted to share that testimony with you, and we just like to share things like that from time to time to build your faith. God still hears when we pray. God still heals because God loves. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to be with you this morning. We're thankful for all of you that have come to join us in worship together, to praise God together. And I want to remind you of that. If you remember, we started out last year on this journey of really being intentional when we come together and we're singing, we're lifting up our hands. We're not going to let the worship team entertain us. We're not going to let the worship team praise for us. Right? We come together to praise God together. Amen. And I thank you for doing that this morning and moving in and just having a heart. You know, worship includes praise. It includes prayer. It includes service. Worship is so much more than just a genre of music. And unfortunately, we've forgotten that. Some people have forgotten that. We're trying to remind you every Sunday. We come together. And so as we were praying there, we're worshiping God. And it may be a song that you're singing, but it's a prayer, right? And we're declaring that God is going to move because we're asking him to move. And so thank you for that this morning. We want to, at this time, dismiss our students to go to their classes. We have a nursery available if you have babies. We have a preschool available for preschool age. And then there's Firehouse Kids this morning for all of our young people, our kids to join together. And then we have our teen class back there for our teenagers. And God's really moving. I think today is the last day of the 21 days of consecration that the teens have been walking through. Isn't it amazing? You got young people who want to consecrate themselves to the Lord. Amen. Praise God for that. That's awesome. And so they've walked through 21 days of that, consecrating themselves to the Lord. They've had declarations. They've been reading and praying and things that are moving. And so we're excited about what God's doing in our teen class. And not only that, but our kids and everything. And we're thankful for the volunteers back there. Well, this morning, we're going to continue on this series of building a faith community. And Pastor Alicia is going to come and share, I believe, the closing word of this series with you. And we're just excited to hear what God is speaking to the Lighthouse. Amen?
I'm very honored to be able to speak today. And I thought about that this morning. And I haven't always said that it was an honor to speak, because sometimes it felt like an obligation. And I've shared with you guys before that getting up in front of people used to be very difficult for me. And I like to share this because sometimes I think people look at the end result and they think, oh, well, God does that through them because it's easy for them. And I would say most of the time that is not correct. And so I think it's important to share those things with you guys, because the enemy will try to tell you, you can't do it because it's hard, because you're not good at it, because it's not easy. If God really wanted you to do that, it would come easily. And that's not true. What God is looking for is obedience. But when you become obedient, you get to the place where it's easier, where it becomes less of an obligation. Because a long time ago, and I've shared this and I'll continue to share it, a long time ago, God chastised me and said, how dare you tell me no? Because there was a time I was sitting in church and I felt like I had to give an interpretation for the word, and I didn't. And after that moment, I said, God, I will do my best not to tell you no again. And so I have lived that out to the best of my ability. And is it always easy? Absolutely not. But is it worth it? Yes. So I want to encourage you, if the Holy Spirit, let me say it this way, when the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something, do not make an excuse. Just be willing to step out. And if you don't get it perfect, that's okay. Because he will continue to teach you and continue to grow you, and it's important. And I'm excited about what God is doing here. I'm excited about what God has planned for us. And it's not because he's ready. He's already been ready. It's because we're getting into a place. And I was so encouraged by that this morning, because I know Joe and I are there. We're ready. But it takes more than just the pastors to invite the presence of God to do something significant in our midst. So I want to recap what we've been learning about. And even this, like, again, I like to share the backstories, I guess. When Pastor Joe and I were talking about the theme for this year, and we really both pretty quickly came to building a faith community. And then we decided we needed to start off the first four Sundays preaching about it. But just to give you a little insight, we don't sit down and say, okay, what are you going to preach? What am I going to preach? Let me see your sermon so I can do my sermon. We don't do that. And so I went into the first week where Pastor Joe preached having no idea what he was going to preach about, other than building a faith community. But what aspect was he going to go in? And as he was preaching, I just felt like these four points. And so we discussed it after. And number one, he preached, and I don't know that he even considered it that, but I heard him saying who Christ was. And so he talked about Christ was our solid rock. He was our firm foundation. And you have to know who he is in order to come into that faith community. You can't truly be a part of the faith community without having faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You can come into the church services, but you're not going to experience what we're experiencing. And you'll sit back and be like, what is up with those people? But when Jesus Christ is your foundation, then you're going to get it. And you're going to understand. And you'll be crazy like the rest of us. And it's okay. And so the second week, I really felt like God said we needed to know who we are in Christ in order to be the family and the community and the body of Christ that he wants us to be. So we had to let go of any regret, any offense, any bondage, anything that is trying to hold us back from being the fullness of who God created you to be. And no one can do that for you. That's you. That's between you and God. Nobody can pray for you enough to make it happen. Nobody can try to guilt you into making it happen. It is between you and God and letting him have control in your life. And then last week, Pastor Joe talked about, so who are we? Because it's more, it's bigger than just you. My relationship with Christ is precious. And I wouldn't trade it for anything, but when we come together as the body of Christ, there is a power that I could not experience within just myself. Because where two or three are gathered, he's there in the midst. When one can send 1,000, two can send 10,000. And God did that on purpose. He wanted us to be connected. And who are we in Christ? We are building. We are building together. And I love Pastor Joe's illustration last week, because one of those individuals could probably do a lot of the things that needed to be done, right? But it would take a lot longer. He would be exhausted. And it doesn't include as many people. So God wants us to come and build together. And then this week, we're going to talk about, so who is our faith community? Once we know Jesus is the foundation, once we know who we are in Christ, once we know who we are all together in Christ, then we need to understand, who is our faith community? What does that even mean? And so I see three aspects of a faith community. And the first one is the global church overall. And this is the entire body. And I was thinking about these three points, and I guess let me just share this real quick. So we're going to talk about the global community, we're going to talk about the local community, and then we're going to talk about a more personal and intimate community. And as I was looking at the life of Christ, I saw him going through all of these situations. So a global community, when he fed the 5,000, he didn't have a personal conversation with many of those people, probably most of those people. Most of them never came and had a one-on-one conversation with them, but yet they were all there together for a purpose. And another example I thought about, when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, there's people preaching and they're not following you. And he said, hey, if they're not against us, they're for us. Jesus probably never laid eyes on those people. He may never talk to those people, but they had the same mission. And that is our global community. It's something sometimes we forget about. But it's so important to realize we are connected to something far greater than this building right here. And so a faith community, looking at John chapter 17, the faith community is the entire body of Christ all over the world. Every believer in Christ, we are connected to. And in John 17, verse 20, this is Jesus speaking. And he's saying, I'm praying not only for these disciples, the ones that I'm looking at, the ones that I'm talking to, the ones that I've poured my life into right here physically, but I'm praying for those who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one. And skipping down to the end, it says, so the world will believe that you sent me. And so God has this huge, huge kingdom here on earth. And most of the people we may never even see, never talk to, but we believe so much in it that we do mission trips, that we will send money, that we will send rice, that we will send money to buy pigs, that we will do what we can, because these are our brothers and sisters across the world. And when you get a bigger view than just what's going on right here, you can better fulfill the mission of Christ. Because when you're just looking at what's in front of you, you're missing. You're missing a whole big part of what God wants you to be a part of. We are the body of Christ all over this world. When we get caught up in silly arguments, when we allow divisions and strife among the body of Christ, we are missing the big picture of what it's all about. We are a global community together. And I think of another scripture in the Bible that says, a house divided cannot stand. So this scripture says the world needs to see it so they can believe in Christ. And we are part of that great commission of all of us coming together to see people saved and discipled so they can see who Jesus is. I came across a statistic someone just shared recently that hurt my heart, really. And it said 83%. Everyone say 83%. That's a large number. 83% of people who call themselves Christians, we're not talking about unbelievers, at least ones who proclaim to be Christians, and attend church regularly, 83% do not have a biblical worldview. So that means when it comes to looking at the world and how things function and what's right and what's wrong, they don't base that on the Word of God. They base that on what's popular or their own understanding or what they're comfortable with. 83%. And so even though those 83% may be people, a lot of whom we may never meet, we are connected to them because they call themselves Christians. And do you understand if you call yourself a Christian and you're talking to people, they look at you as a Christian, and then when they hear I'm a Christian, they lump us together. We're together. We're in this together whether we want to be or not. So when some of us are not living according to the Word of God, that affects all of us. That affects the way the world views the church. And so we need to do something about it because this is our community. And I want to share this story. It's a true story from 1953 about a man named Peter Schoening. And so he was going with a group of climbers. There's a picture of him later in life. I believe he was younger in this 1953. But he was going with a group of climbers to climb K2. Has anyone ever heard of that? It's the second highest mountain peak in the world. K2. I'd never heard of it. And I have no desire to climb it, but he did. So he and his group, they did all the preparations they needed to do. They went through all the process because there's things you got to prepare your body for to make sure you can do it and accomplish it. They had a group of 6 or 7 or 8 guys all together. They got up where they could see the peak. They were almost there. And one of the guys, whose name was Art Gilkey, suffered a pulmonary embolism. I don't even know what that means, but some of you medical people, I'm sure, do. And it's not good. So the group had to decide, do we leave him here and let him die so we can accomplish this goal that we have set? Or do we take him to get help? And of course, they all decided very quickly, we need to take him to get help. Well, when you're climbing, a lot of times you tie yourself to each other. It helps you keep your footing. It helps everyone stay together. And it's a safer way to travel. But as they were descending down the mountain, they came to a 590-foot icy slope, and one of the men lost their footing. So as that first man began to fall, he pulled the second one down with him, and then the third one went down with him, and then the fourth one went down with him, until the whole group was falling, and Peter was the very last one. He was not the leader of the group, but he happened to be the last person on this rope, and just out of habit, he knew what to do. He had an ice pick. And he shoved it as quickly, as hardly as he could into the ground, and it hit a rock. And that rock, think about this, that rock saved all of those men from careening down a cliff. And all of those men later said that saved their life. They understood they would not have made it out alive had it not been for his ability to do the right thing at the right time. And the reason I share this story is because sometimes it seems like the situation is hopeless. He could have looked and thought, oh my goodness, we're just all going to die. But he chose to do something about it. And when we're looking at this huge picture and this global community that seems like, what difference can I make? The difference you can make is to keep your pick in the rock. Keep yourself in the Word of God. So that when someone else is depending on you, you're not letting them down. you're going to be standing steadfast and standing strong and doing the right thing and saving people's lives. And that's how we start with that big global community. So a quote he gave later is, he said, when you get into something like mountain climbing, you do things automatically. It becomes mechanical functioning. You do it when necessary without giving thought of how or why. And I thought, for Christians, how important it is that we have a good established routine, that we have disciplined ourselves. So in that moment, we do know what to do. We're not going to panic, church. I've seen too many Christians panic. You know what that tells me? You weren't disciplined. We need to be disciplined, so when the moment comes, because it will, you will be tested, you will be tried, the people next to you will be tested and tried. Are you able to stand for yourself and to stand for them? We are part of a global community. And as Pastor Joe said last week, we are better together. Amen? So the community we most often think about is our local community. If you look around, you see your local community. Here at the Lighthouse, and this is what people think about when they think of a faith community, the church that you attend, that you call home, that you feel called to, that is your local community. And looking in Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bible, you can turn to that or read from the screen. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4. This is a very popular verse, but a very important verse. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And it goes on, but I'm going to stop right there. Because if you've been called to this local community, and if you're here, we're depending on you to use your gift, to do what God's called you to do. And if you don't, something's missing. We're not as effective as a community as we could be when you're obedient to Christ. Everybody, everyone say everybody. Everybody has a part. Everybody has something they can do. Just as we saw last week, there was a whole line of people that had different skills and different abilities. And we didn't even name, the possibilities are endless for how many jobs there are to do in the kingdom of God. There are so many different things, and you are here for a reason. You're not here to sit in a pew and take up space. You're not here just to come and get fed. But if God has called you to be part of this local community, then you have something to give back to the community. So we want everybody to find their place in the local community. And we do that pretty well here. We give opportunities. We do want more people to get involved, but people are involved. We appreciate that. So the global community we don't often think of, the local community we see all the time, right? We're familiar with that. And then this last one, I think, is something also that we fail at very much, and we're going to get better at this year, and that is the intimate or personal community. And so the word intimate, I saw this, I thought it was interesting. You could pronounce it into me see, intimacy, into me see. Most of you will never stand up to the local community and say, I'm struggling with this. I need help with this. And that's okay. You probably shouldn't to a whole big community. But the Bible expects us to have a group of people, a group of believers that we are doing life with. And so I want to read Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that very much talks about that. And it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But can someone tell me, how can I bear your burden if I don't know your burden? I can't. And here's the other problem, because as pastors, we do get to hear a lot of the burdens. But was he talking to the leadership of the church in that scripture? He was not. He was talking to the believers. You are to bear one another's burdens. Pastor Joe and I are only two people. We cannot be as intimate with each of you as you are supposed to be walking in this Christian life together. And that's why he expects believers to come together, to encourage one another, to support one another, to grow together, to iron sharpen iron together, right? To be able to call, you need to have someone who can call you out on your stuff when you're not doing it right. That they can say, your worldview is getting a little skewed right now. What are you talking about? That is not in the Bible. You need people in your life who can do that for you. And if you're expecting it just from the pastors, that's not the biblical viewpoint. I'll share another interesting fact. I would say some people don't even give the pastors the right to do that. And so there are people that we see struggling that we could give words of advice to help, but we have not gotten permission from them to do so. And so I encourage you, number one, give your leadership permission to speak into your life. It will help you. But number two, get a group of people. So throughout the years of Pentecost, I've heard people say, well, that's confusing scripture because a few verses later, and we have this, you can look at Galatians 6:5, it says, every man shall bear his own burden. So I've heard a lot of people through the years say, I'm just going to do it on my own. I'm going to figure it out. I don't need to tell anybody anything. It's me and God. We're going to do it. But did you know that in the English, they use the same word, but in the original language, those are not the same thing. So looking at Galatians 6:2, the word burden there is in the, this is Hebrew, baros, which means a weight or a burden. So if something is weighing you down, if something is burdening you, we need to be able to bear that together. The congregation, you should have a group of people who can help you bear that load. You are not meant to carry it on your own. That is that burden. But if you look at the other one, Galatians 6:5, the word that we call burden in the Hebrew language is phartion. And that means your obligation, your responsibility. Nobody can bear that for you. You are responsible for what God has called you to do. And if you don't do it, I might have to step in and do it, but you're going to give an answer for why you didn't do it. It'll still get done here. We're going to find somebody to make it happen because we care about people. We care about souls. But when you're not taking your responsibility, it makes the job harder for everybody else, and you're not benefiting. You're not getting the blessing that God has for you. He wants you to do what he's called you to do, what he's created you to do. You have a purpose for living. If he's called you to this house, you have a reason you're called to this house, to do something in this house. And in this community and in this area. If he's called you somewhere else, great. We will bless you. We will send you. But you have a work to do there. You don't just go and sit. I never saw where God called someone, just come sit and don't do anything. We got it all covered. Just come enjoy. Just enjoy the show. I don't ever see that. There's a work to do, and he wants you to be a part of it. Going along with that, if I haven't convinced you that we're meant to be together and intimate and personal together, you can look at James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now again, is he talking about confessing your faults to leadership? Is that what it says? No, it says to one another. You need to have a group of people that you trust, that you depend on, that you guys are together, growing in the spirit and learning, that you're able to go and confess when something is not going right in your life. And what that happens is that can break bondages because the enemy wants you to keep things in secret. He wants you to feel like you can't tell anybody, and then he can just keep playing games with your mind. He can just keep you suppressed. But when you share it, when you open it, when you bring it to the light and someone can hold you accountable, they can help you walk through that. And you can get the victory in Christ. Amen? So that is an intimate community. So I want to share something we have really prayed about, because as I said, I feel like we've not done a good job about that here. I feel like our local community is pretty healthy and pretty strong, and we love each other, we care about each other. But getting to that personal level, we have not done it. So we've prayed and asked God, how do we do this? And this year we're going to implement something called care groups. And we're going to have somebody be connected to a group of people where they can call you, not just at service times. Are you going to tell somebody on a Sunday morning what you're struggling with? Probably not. But would you tell them if they meet with you for coffee that week? Yes, that's building relationship. And so Pastors Darius and Dunya are going to be over this ministry, and they're going to get a team to help them, to where we are establishing groups of people. We're going to give you an opportunity. Now, can we make you do it? No. But do we strongly encourage you to take part? Yes. Because this is the intimate community where you are going to grow by leaps and bounds more than what you hear in a Sunday morning. By being able to open up and share your dreams, your hopes, what God is speaking, and letting people encourage you, yes, step out and do that. Sometimes that's all you need, is just a person in your corner saying, yes, that's God. That's God. Be obedient. If you're part of a ministry team, we're working with the ministry leaders to say, that's a care group. If you're in worship, this whole worship team is your care group. And this year we're going to focus on not just meeting together for practice and service, but where you guys are connected at a personal, intimate level. If you're on the greeting team, if you're working for kids ministry or teen ministry, that's a group that we should be intentional about loving and supporting one another and doing life together. Because the church is not just a service time. We are the church, and we need to be connected, and we need to grow, and we need to disciple each other. And if you're only being discipled by your pastors, we're missing the point. I believe God wants to do something so big in us. And as I said, I think this morning, we're not waiting on him. He's ready. Honestly, I think he's been ready before, and I think we missed it. And for that, I apologize. There were times we felt like God wanted to move, and we felt like we weren't in place. We weren't prepared. And so for that, we apologize. But we feel like this is another moment in time where God is saying, I want to do something big. And so we are asking you, be willing to step out. Be willing to do hard things that you didn't think were possible. Be willing to take a chance. Because faith is not seeing it and then doing it. Faith is being willing to step out when you just hear the voice, you feel the feeling, and you're like, God, I don't know how this is going to turn out. That's what faith is. And it can't just be a few people in the church stepping out of faith. We need each and every individual being willing to say yes. Yes. Even before I hear you say what you want, God, I say yes. And when we do that, I promise you, our God is an awesome God, and he will show up in a way that we have never seen. And there will be signs, and there will be wonders. There will be salvations. We will be the rehabernacle where deliverance will come for people that are in bondage. Alcoholics are going to be delivered. Drug addicts are going to be delivered. But not until you get in your place and you come in alignment with God and say yes, yes. Because your community is depending on you. It is not about pastors. It is about the church. And two people cannot make it happen ever. It is about the people of God saying we are desperate and we're willing to do whatever it takes. We will pray for hours if that's what you tell us to do. We will share our testimony in the grocery store if that's what you tell me to do. I will witness at work if that's what you tell me to do. That's a people who's hungry. That I don't have to be comfortable. I don't have to like it. I don't even have to feel like it's an honor. I can feel like it's an obligation to start with, but I'm going to do it. And then I trust God's going to show up and work through it in spite of me. And when we get to that place, God will show up. And so the very last part is our potential community. And that's who's depending on us to get it right. The people who are not yet part of the kingdom, but God wants them. Every person you see, God wants them. That person you can't stand at work, God wants them. The person in your family who drives you crazy, God wants them. That neighbor that just gets on your nerve and mows into your yard. Just heard someone say that recently. God wants them. They could become part of the faith community depending on you. It's time that we take this very seriously. It's not about showing up on a Sunday morning. It's about what are we doing the rest of the week to be part of a faith community. And so the last scripture I want to read is Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse 36. And a man comes to Jesus and he asks this question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And we know they go on to say, who's your neighbor? Anyone you come in contact with. That's who your neighbor is. Anyone you come in contact with, they have the potential to be part of your faith community. But only if you're obedient. Am I saying it's going to be every person you meet? No. Jesus passed many people he didn't say anything to, but let me tell you, when he knew he needed to speak to someone, he did. And that's what we need to get better at, church. When we feel the prompting, no matter how uncomfortable it is, that we're going to minister because there's potential in that person and God wants them. So I want to end. God gave me a specific activity a few weeks ago, actually, and I was praying about when to do it, and I felt like today was the day. And I've talked to the prayer team, and I said, I feel like we all need to write down one or two people that we are believing for salvation for this year, but not people that we want. Anyone know what that means? You have people in your life, your family, your friends that you want to see saved, right? Not that. It's the people that God lays on your heart, that he says, this is their year. And so I'll tell you my situation. Last year, I prayed for one of my sisters who needs to be saved. And she has kids who are depending on her, and they need her to be saved. And so this year's God was giving me this. I'm like, okay. So I have her, and then there's another person God laid in my heart who used to attend church here. And I'm like, those are my two people. And this past week, as I was thinking about it again, God reminded me, he said, not, you need to tell the people. It's not who they want. It's not their idea of what they think is the right answer. It's who I give them. And as Susie said that, I felt that change. And the sister, I thought this was her year. God said no. And so if you go to that next slide, I'm going to give you a note card. And if you want to do this, and again, you're committing to pray for them, but then our prayer team is going to join their faith because we're a community, right? You're not carrying this alone. And what they've actually said is they're going to do a Zoom call once a week, and all of these names they are going to pray and believe for. And so one or two, I know some of you have a list of 10, but again, it's not the ones that you want to see saved. It's the ones that God says, this is their year. This is their year. They're ripe for the harvest. I just need someone. I just need laborers to go and pull them in. I need you to let God speak that to you of who those one or two people are. And then we're going to have note cards up here. If Brother Brad will go ahead and bring those. And we'll have pens. And once God gives you that name, or you can grab a note card and go pray about it, or you can go pray and then come grab a note card, however you want to do it. But again, let God speak to you. That's the key, because we are coming into alignment with God. It's not about God doing what we want, right? We've already heard that today. It's about us coming into alignment with him. And does he want everyone saved? Yes. But he also knows this one's ripe. This one's ripe. And so you need to seek God and then write down one or two names. And at the bottom, I want you to put your name and your phone number, because as the prayer team prays, if they have a word of wisdom, and I believe they're going to have some, if they have a word of knowledge, and I'm declaring they're going to have some, they need to be able to call you or text you and get a hold of you and say, hey, as I was praying for so-and-so, this is what I felt, and I just need to share it with you. And then the other thing I need you to commit to is once that person is saved, you need to come and testify. Amen? We're going to give God glory for what he's doing, and I'm believing this is a year that we are going to hear more testimonies than this church has ever heard before, because we are being intentional about getting in alignment with God, about doing what he's telling us to do. And so they're going to play a song for us, and we're going to take some time. And if you want to pray at your seat, pray at the altar, grab a card and pray however you want to do it. But I just encourage you, let God speak to your heart one or two names that God says, this is their year, and I want you to be a part of their harvest. So go ahead.
Thank you.
worship with us, because I believe God's going to pour out his spirit on his sons and his daughters, those that are hungry, those that are thirsty. yeses are yes and amen. And God, you want to see people saved more than we want to see them saved. And God, we're just thankful we get to be a part of what you're doing. And so God, I pray that